Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Today's sermon is hard to hear. I will tell you that it was also really hard to write. It took several drafts. What you just heard Jesus say to his disciples and to us is really hard to hear. And the reason it's hard to hear is because all of us know it's the truth. We know there is division. We know there is division in families. And we know there is division in families regarding faith in Jesus. And many of us know it in our own families, mine included. Today's sermon is hard to hear because it exposes us. It exposes that we are not worthy. And none of us likes to be exposed. None of us likes to be exposed that we're not worthy. We have sinned. And the sin that Jesus exposes in our lives is the sin of idolatry. And the sin of idolatry has to do with the first commandment. And the first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so, boiled down, that means that God doesn't share allegiances. And so in our text, Jesus calls upon all of us to rightly order who we love in our lives. Who do you love most in your life? Let me ask that again. Who do you love most in your life? Because how you and I answer that question determines the choices that we make in our lives. Ponder for a second these real life examples. They're real life examples. We weren't able to be in worship last weekend. Our grandchild had a tournament, and we just couldn't miss it. We won't be able to make it to church this Sunday because our family will be visiting from out of town. We might make it to worship. We might not. It depends on what our kids and grandkids want to do. After all, we only get so much time with them. We don't talk about faith or Jesus in our family. It's kind of a divisive topic, so we just leave well enough alone. It's easier that way, so no one gets upset. I was going to be here last weekend, but worship is so early and my family likes to stay out so late on Saturday nights. Just a few real life examples. Who do you love most in your life? Let me be clear here that Jesus is not calling you to not love your family. Jesus is calling upon all of us to rightly order who we first love in our lives. Because who we first love impacts the decisions we make in our lives. Jesus is calling upon us to love God first without question. And as you may have noted from the examples I just mentioned, look how easy it becomes to put family first. And when we do that, we're turning family into an idol. And it's a slippery slope. You do it once, it gets easier the next time, and the next time. Notice it isn't long, and Jesus gets knocked down lower and lower on the proverbial totem pole. And when this happens, how does it impact our witness to other people? What do we teach our children, our neighbors, our friends, our family? What is our witness to others when we so easily exchange our time with God for whatever else might be on the proverbial menu come Sunday morning? Sadly, we teach them that a relationship with God, where God is the priority, isn't needed. Sadly, we teach them, feel free to follow whatever idol. It doesn't matter. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Who do you love most in your life? So take a look at your own life for a second. Take a look back to when you were a little kid. And if you were to look back at your life as a little kid on an XY axis, would you say you're growing in your life of faith? Or is it remaining flatline? Or is it in decline? And if so, why is that? What is your idol? Is it work? Is it vacations? Is it your phone? Is it fear or laziness? Is it more money, retirement security, more possessions for an already full garage or house, more fame and glory, making a name for yourself? Is it family? Has family become the priority over your faith? Family traditions, family gatherings, they're all well and good, but when they usurp God in your life, then things are out of order. Jesus is calling upon all of us to evaluate here today. Evaluate our lives and to see, is family your idol? He's actually calling upon all of us to evaluate and examine our lives to see what our idols are. What sin of idolatry do you need to confess? He's calling upon all of us to be honest with ourselves about what do we need to change in our lives so that we're not having a flatline relationship with Him, or we're not having a decline in our relationship with Christ, but rather we're growing nearer to Him as we want to grow closer in this relationship with Christ for us and for our families. That we don't want to just stick in the status quo. It's time to confess the idols. It's time to lay them at the foot of the cross. What's your idol? Today's sermon is hard to hear. The truth often is. Coming to terms with family division always is. Confessing our idols always is. Admitting that we're not worthy always is. You probably noticed by now that today's sermon is a lot of law. Well, if you also notice, the text is a lot of law. And so you stick to the text. That's why it's hard to hear. In our fundamentals in the faith class, we're actually on the law right now. And if you haven't taken our fundamentals in the faith class yet, remember that I've encouraged everyone to take that. And in that lesson of God's law, we understand that God gives us His law because He loves us. And you think back to your parents, and you likely never thought that. You never thought your parents told you to do something or not to do something, and you were like, thanks, Mom and Dad, I really appreciate you robbing my fun. But in retrospect, you were probably like, you did that because you cared for me, because you love me. It's the same with Jesus here. Or as Mom always said, eat your vegetables. And you said, why? Because they're good for you. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus knew that the law was good for His disciples. He knows that it's good for us to hear, because He knows without us hearing the law, we'll never actually see just how lost we are, just how much we're following these idols, and just how much we would be doomed to death and hell. And so He shows us just how doomed we are, so that we will then see clearly our need for a Savior. And He exposes us for the sinners that we are, so that we then come to Him and say, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Please help me to confess, because I am crushed here. I am convicted. I am doomed to die. I need help if I am ever going to get past this idol. And Jesus says, I can help you. Because Jesus is your Savior. Even though it meant His death, when you haven't put Him first, He has put you first. Even though it meant being rejected by His family to come here to this earth, He put you first. Even though it meant the wrath of His Father there on the cross, which we will never understand, He put you first. Even though it meant that He was going to be made fun of there on that cross, He put you first. Even though it meant that He was going to be bloodied there on that cross, He put you first. When He ordered His loves in His life, you were at the top because He put you first. Even though you're not worthy, He put you first. Even though it meant He was going to get left hanging, literally, He put you first. He lost His life to give you life. Abundant life. to end the division, to make sure that you would have a family, a perfect family, a family with no separation, a family that is bound by His blood. And as you look at that cross before you, it is evidence that Jesus has brought you into a family where you will forever be a part, and you are ever going to be made first. One might think that Jesus' priorities are quite messed up, because after all, what you and I deserve is the sword at the beginning of this text. That's what we unworthy sinners deserve. But instead, we get peace. Peace in His word, peace in His absolution, peace in His body, peace in His blood. That's why we're here. We get peace. Everlasting peace. And so I close with words that are most certainly not hard to hear. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.